When it comes to your health, who do you trust? Perhaps various health professionals spring to mind, or your own efforts to stay healthy. But maybe you'd be willing to consider that there is a power beyond any individual's efforts or expertise that is a reliable, steadfast, and trustworthy source of healing and health. To start the new year off right, we'll be spending the next 4 weeks talking about healthcare from a spiritual perspective. This week's guest, Christian Science practitioner and teacher Eric Nelson, joined me to talk about what it is that we can really trust for our health.
When I think about chatting with people about trusting God for their health or for my health, I think it's best to start off with a definition of God so we know what it is we're trusting. But rather than just kind of share a textbook answer as to what God is, I thought I would share an experience, one of many experiences that I've had that really showed me what God was and is in really practical terms. And this was something that took place maybe 25, 30 years ago now, back when I was doing a lot of long-distance biking. And this was road biking. And I happened to be on a road that was, was notorious for very fast-moving traffic. But it was it was a road I'd been on many times and loved to do this particular ride. Well, I was maybe 40, 50 miles into the ride, and I was going uphill in a section where cars were going very fast, and I had gotten out into the traffic lane a little bit too far, and a car coming behind me, maybe, well, at least 45 or 50 miles an hour, sideswiped my bike and me also, and I was able to pull over to the side of the road and step off my bike. And what my immediate inclination to do was maybe counterintuitive for some. It wasn't to look at my body and see what had happened. It wasn't even to look at my bike and see what happened. I literally got off my bike, stood there, shut my eyes, and I just said, God, tell me what's going on. God, show me that you're here. God, show me who I really am. It was just an almost insistent listening to God and praying. And I just sat there with my eyes closed for maybe, I don't know, a minute at the most. And the guy that hit me, he pulled over a little bit further up the road, and he came running down. He was visibly shaken. And he said, obviously, is everything okay? And it was at that moment that I finally opened my eyes. And I looked down at my bike, and I looked at me, and I was able to say with complete confidence, I wasn't making this up. I said, everything's fine. Everything is fine. I'm doing just great. And I really meant that because I had looked at my bike and all I could detect was just this tiny little scratch on the handlebar. I looked at my body. A part of my leg had been bumped and scratched a little bit, but nothing that would indicate what had actually just happened. As I found out later, the impact to me and to my bike was so strong that it had knocked off there was a mirror, a side view mirror on this guy's car. It was hanging by its electrical wires. So obviously something had happened.
Yeah.
I didn't see this until a little bit later when I was riding my bike by this gentleman's car. I was thrilled on a lot of different levels here. So what is this telling me about God? How does this help me to find God? In lots of ways, it demonstrated for me, it proved for me that God was there, that God is a presence. He's the only real presence. It proved to me that God was a power, that he was there to literally transform me physically and morally and spiritually. And I say transform me morally and spiritually because what was really remarkable to me, aside from having little, if any, effect from this accident, was that I have no recollection of even 1 second of being angry with this gentleman. The forgiveness that needed to take place was more than immediate. It was just it. It was just there, just that sense of forgiveness. So there was that physical protection, transformation, moral transformation. But it also taught me and proved for me, like so many other instances of healings over my life, it proved for me that God is there to energize us, uplift us, and that especially that God speaks to us in times of need. I reached out to God and I said, show me, tell me what's really going on here. It wasn't a voice that came to me so much as it was a open your eyes and see. I'm going to show you what's really going on. And what's really going on is that you were protected, that this gentleman was protected. Of course, aside for his side view mirror that I'm sure had to be repaired. But other than that, it was just the most remarkable, obviously to this day I remember it because it was one of those moments where I could really see what God is. I could really see what it is that I'm trusting for my health. And I have to tell you, there's nothing better on a long distance bike ride than to have a healing like that, because the latter part of my ride, I was going probably twice as fast as I was in the first part of the ride because I had just such a feeling of God's presence and protection and his power. It just was a really wonderful experience.
I love that experience, Eric. And I do want to just get into one piece of it, which is this idea of opening your eyes. That's a Bible reference, and maybe you can give a little bit more context for that, because I want to make sure that our listeners understand that there was a dimension to this that wasn't just, well, you had your eyes closed and were, you know, trying to pray or get still, and then when you opened them, you realized, well, nothing bad had happened. But that there was some kind of, as you said, thought transformation that happened as a result of reaching out to God. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, there was, of course, the literal closing and opening of the eyes. But yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because what was really going on there was kind of a humble going to God and asking him to show me who I was and am in his eyes. How did God see me? And that was the real opening of the eyes, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, was being willing, I guess, and you know, this is the kind of thing we can sort of analyze it, if you will, after the fact. In the moment, this all happened within seconds, so it's taken me a lot longer to explain it than it actually happened that, in that moment. And when I think of God as divine spirit, to me, that means the only way he knows me is as his spiritual reflection, not in the least bit physical, and that this isn't some secret that he's keeping to himself or something that I'll eventually understand sometime down the road, but I really see it as something that he is actively, consciously revealing to his creation, letting us know, saying to us in practical ways, this is how I see you as my spiritual creation, because I am spirit. And that communication, that spiritual communication, is the Christ. It's that communication from God, that message, that reminder from God that he loves us, and not just in sort of an abstract way, but in really practical ways, like I saw in that particular instance.
So let's think about somebody who maybe has never prayed before or hasn't prayed in the way that you're talking about. I mean, how would someone like that kind of move into that same place that you're referencing?
You know, I think the most basic prayer, one of the most basic prayers, is simply to acknowledge that there is a God. Just acknowledge that there is a God. We don't have to know exactly what that God is. We don't need to spend weeks or months or years, you know, studying the Bible before we're able to have any practical sense of that. God reveals himself to us. That's his nature. So, like I say, going back to that simple admission that there is a God, from there, even if we've never prayed along those lines before, from that point, to say there is a God, God reveals himself to us. And he reveals, more than anything, his love to us, his presence, his power, but just that one step in the right direction. And to me, I'll probably use the word humility a lot in our conversation, because to me, that's the key. That's the frame of mind, if you will, that for me, at least, is most conducive to starting the conversation with God, if you will. Just humility. Just admit that he is here, that there is a God, and that he loves us, that he loves you. And that this love is, again, is revealed in practical ways.
I really like the simplicity of that. And it just, it makes it so doable for anybody, wherever they find themselves, either in their spiritual journey or, you know, any event in their lives. I know for you, that's coming out of a specific spiritual and religious framework. And maybe we can start talking a little bit about that. As a Christian Scientist, you know, what was it about your own study or your own understanding of God that had you immediately turning to God in a situation like this?
How do we trace that? Yes, I've been studying Christian Science basically all my life. And when I say studying Christian Science, it's actually putting it into practice as well. So how was I able in that moment to just immediately turn to God and expect to get some sort of response? My gosh, ever since I was a little kid, I think I'd had some sense that there was something loving me and guiding me that went way beyond my mom and dad or family members, but I just had a genuine sense of God's presence. Where that came from, I have to think it came from God himself. You know, I think this turning to God so immediately came from hearing so many Bible stories growing up. I mean, throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, especially the healings that we read about of Jesus. Time after time, you have individuals reaching out in times of need, whatever the need may be. It may be an economic need, it may be some physical need, it may be any number of things. But you have so many instances of people reaching out to something that they call God and getting an immediate response. So like I say, even as a kid, I think that really sunk in that this is something that didn't just happen thousands of years ago. I was, even as a little kid, I was reading the Bible as kind of a textbook of sorts, kind of a guidebook. This is how we need to act. This is how we need to be thinking about our relationship to God. I didn't see it as, oh, this person so many years ago had a wonderful relationship to God. I wish I could be there. No, to me, the Bible is revealing my relationship to God. And I think I got that even as a kid. It was a story about me as much as it was a story about anybody else. And I have to tell you, this might be a quick digression, but in terms of kind of having that childlike trust in the fact that God is available to us and that we do have a relationship to him, this is another very quick biking story. But when I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, I was also hit by a car when I was on my bike. Knocked me unconscious. The next thing I knew, I was in my mom and dad's bed and trying to figure out where I was and was able to regain consciousness and all was well. There were a couple of things that needed prayerful attention, but I have a distinct memory that I was about to have a healing. Now, this is when I was 6 years old. And like I said, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And even though my body didn't feel great at that moment, it was an almost overwhelming sense of joy that I was being cared for, not just by my mom and dad, but that I was being cared for by a divine presence, divine love. Another word for God is divine love. I sensed that was there and that I was going to benefit from that. So my thought, I still remember as a kid, was as soon as I have the healing, I'm going to jump up and down on this bed and scream at the top of my lungs, I just had a healing. So the healing did come. It wasn't instantaneous, but it did come, and I never got around to jumping up and down the bed. But that thought, that reminder, that assurance that I was being cared for, that has stayed for me ever since.
That's really powerful, and I really love the idea that when a problem of any kind comes up, but you know, especially one with our health, which I think, I don't know, it can feel like health challenges make us feel very out of control and overwhelmed and like, what's going to happen? But to have that childlike expectation, oh, I'm going to have a healing, is just it's a totally different frame of reference than I think maybe how we're taught to think about when a problem comes up.
Right. And I want to emphasize too, what we're talking about there, what I'm talking about there, it's not just positive thinking. It's like, well, just know you're going to get a healing and everything will be fine. To me, it's thinking that is inspired by experience, obviously, you know, having some track record, if you will, having had healings before. But to me, it's, again, not positive thinking. It's thinking that's in line with what, for so many years, I've read about in the Bible, in the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Reading those two books together, that's what has informed my thinking over so many years. And that it's thinking that's, I would call it more inspired thinking, not positive thinking.
How has that key to the scriptures brought even more dimension to, for example, the way Jesus healed for you?
Oh boy, that's a huge question.
Well, let's do a 60-second version.
Yeah, I'll give you the 60-second version because daily I get new inspirations from both of those books and as it relates to my health. I think maybe fundamentally when I read Science and Health in particular, it reminds me of the importance of having the humility, to use that word again, the humility, the willingness to exchange a matter-based view of myself for a divinely inspired or spiritual view of myself. That to me is fundamental to healing, just that willingness. I see myself this way, I'm willing to give it up and see myself as God sees me. That's the foundation, I think, in my study of science and health in particular. My one big takeaway.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. She uses, Mary Baker Eddy, that is, uses health right in the title of her textbook.
Right.
So to me, that points to the fact that she expected that as we come to know more about God and know more about the laws, the spiritual laws of good and of health and of harmony that really undergird the universe, the natural outcome would be health.
And of course, she's, you know, using that word health in the broadest and deepest sense of that term. I think generally we tend to think of health in purely physical terms. Mm. Even if we're talking about economic health, it has to do with sort of a matter-based situation. But certainly for physical health, that word gets kind of shrunk down a little bit. And when I read that word health, to me, at its deepest level, health is a state of mind. It's our understanding of ourself. It's God's revelation of himself to us, as his presence and his power is revealed to us. So to me, health is, it's really a frame of thought, but not just, again, it's not just a positive thinking frame of thought. It's a frame of thought that for me comes directly from God, is inspired by God. I used that word earlier, the word Christ. That's the word I would use to describe that divine inspiration that comes to us and reveals to us who and what we really are as God's spiritual creation. And this goes for everyone. To me, is the definition of health. I mean, health, it really is, it's a revelation of God's love for us.
Mm. Well, that's a huge thought shift, and I want to get more into it by unpacking a little bit more when we talk about this idea of kind of a matter-based view of existence versus a mm-hmm. spirit with a capital S-based view of existence. You know, I think for a lot of people, there's some comfort with the idea that there's perhaps a divine component to our lives, that, you know, we may have a physical body, but there maybe is some essence called a soul, or there's certainly this divine being or intelligence. But Christian Science takes a different perspective than that. And I think that that is really what brings us into this very revolutionary definition of health. So maybe mm-hmm. you can just help us understand a bit more when we talk about this idea of a spirit-based view of existence. What are we saying?
Yeah, you know, I think part of that is our starting point. Obviously, we want to have a good starting point when we're starting on a journey. We need to know where we're beginning. I think the tendency for a lot of us, even seasoned Christian Scientists, sometimes we will start with sort of working from our experience as men and women and kind of work up to God mm-hmm. rather than starting with God and saying, well, what is this telling me about my experience? To me, that's absolutely fundamental. Always, always, always start with God. What is the Bible revealing to me about God? What is God revealing to me directly about himself? Start there and work, I don't want to say up, down, or backwards, but sort of work from that standpoint, work from that starting point. If I'm starting with what's going on in my life right now, which can be any number of different things, good, bad, and ugly stuff going on in anyone's life, well, we can say, well, what is that telling me about God? Well, right there, to me, that's not a valid starting point. Mm. I start with God and I say, well, what is that telling me about my experience? Let that inform my experience. That's not to say that I or anybody else doesn't have any number of things that they need to deal with and confront. But to me, my ability to deal with those things and confront them and not be made afraid of them is to start with God, that assurance. And that's why I shut my eyes after that bike accident. I needed to, I was literally telling myself, Eric, start with God. Don't start with the bike. Don't start with your leg or your arm or anything else. Don't start there. Start with God. And to me, that was fundamental to the healing that took place, was simply consciously choosing the right starting point. Am I going to start with spirit, or am I with God, or am I going to start with matter, with the material conditions and the situation I was confronting?
What I like about what you're saying is that I think it helps us move mentally toward the place of not thinking of God as kind of this separate, faraway entity who, you know, maybe if we're lucky, we can access on occasion, or maybe he'll answer a prayer or two. And to this literally very present help in trouble. And I think very present in some ways is almost deceptive, because one of my favorite concepts that I've learned about in Christian Science is our actual oneness with God. And I think that really takes this idea of health in a totally different direction, because the idea that we are one with spirit, one with the source of all health, then we're not over here as these separate entities trying desperately to kind of get something from God.
Right, right, exactly. The Bible doesn't teach a conditional relationship with God. It teaches us our oneness with God. It tells us, shows us that we're literally His reflection, which is what we learn in Christian Science. One of the best words to describe humanity, reflection. We are God's reflection.
I wonder if you might have another example, Eric, of a time when this more spiritual, enlightened perspective of your relation to God helped transform, you know, a situation where you were struggling with illness or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are probably lots to choose from. One fairly recent one, within the last few years, I was just before dinner one night, I just all of a sudden had a very sharp pain in my stomach, sort of all over the body, but that's where I felt it. And right after dinner, I just went right up to bed and laid down, and still feeling in very much pain. And I had one of those moments where, as I do every now and then, I just open the Bible. I'm like, God, just show me something. And I opened my Bible, and my eyes fell on something I don't think I'd ever read before. It was in Isaiah, and the phrase, as best I can remember it, was, what aileth thee? And it was almost comical, because I thought, really, God, what aileth me? My stomach aileth me a lot, so we don't need to go over that, you know. Let's not review the obvious here. But then, literally seconds later, I realized what a perfect question that was for me to be asking myself at that time, because this was during a time of considerable political upheaval in our country. And there were a number of things that were troubling me, or to use the word from Isaiah, ailing me. And so I went from, you know, being impertinent to God to saying, thank you. That's the question I needed. This is what needs to be addressed. It may feel like a stomach that's in pain, but what was really going on was a thought that was pretty painful, that was pretty troubling. So, and then I happened to glance at the page right next to this, another chapter ahead or so in Isaiah, and it said, a grievous vision is declared unto me, therefore my loins are filled with pain. And I thought, boy, I couldn't have said it better myself. So what did I do? I thought, well, I need to really address this prayerfully. And, you know, this the grievous vision that I was dealing with, if you will, was just this idea that some of us had the capacity to separate ourselves from God, or from one another, for that matter. It was just not a very hopeful vision of God's care for humanity. It was not a very hopeful vision for me personally. So I just kind of got quiet there and was prayerfully reminding myself of, again, of the oneness of God and His creation, of God's love for His creation. It was a very simple prayer, and not a particularly long prayer, but within a very short time, the pain began to subside considerably. And by the next morning, there was just no shred of that thing that aileth me. Anyway, that was, again, to me, was speaking to the presence, the power of God, his ability to transform me both physically, but also mentally, morally, and spiritually. And to me, that's the gravy, to not just say, wow, I feel better, you know, my body feels better, but to say, wow, I really felt a major movement of thought there that's going to stand me in good stead, not just for an evening or an afternoon, but from this point forward.
That's a wonderful healing. And I wonder if you could help us understand a little bit more about this mental component that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that what we're dealing with is thoughts, because, you know, who knows if you had been dealing with that issue and, say, gone to urgent care or something like that, mm-hmm. they could have diagnosed it as any number of things. And yet it seems like you didn't need to know what the problem might be called in order to heal it. And in fact, it almost sounds like knowing what the problem was called could have been a distraction from dealing with what you actually needed to deal with.
Right. And that's why that question, you know, what aileth thee, was prompting me, it was a reminder to me that what really needed to be addressed was something in thought that was mm-hmm. manifesting itself as something going on in the body. So I literally thank God for guiding me to that question. I might have gotten it in any number of ways, but that particular night it was God saying, open the Bible, read this line, and you'll be off and running with your healing. Mm.
So can you say a little bit more about why it is that we deal specifically with a problem as mental, as a thought, when it seems like it is so physical? I mean, I know you started to get into that, but I want to kind of unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think I will say there are examples of this in the Bible, certainly, of Jesus helping individuals change their thought about themselves rather than fixing their body. But I can speak from my own experience, too, where any number of times where I've just found, I can speak, you know, from a practical standpoint, where when my thought has shifted, I felt the impact physically. Mm. So I've seen it over and over again enough that I'm learning, and I won't say I have it perfect every time. There are certainly those times when something goes wrong with the body and I think, oh my gosh, I need to get something to fix the body here. But I'm getting better at being quicker at recognizing that what I'm really dealing with is thought. But as I say, this really starts with the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, especially the healings of Jesus, where he was addressing the individual's thought, basically encouraging them to see themselves in a different light. You know, I think of the classic example of the man at the pool of Bethesda, a guy who had been wanting to be healed of some physical ailment for 38 years, had been waiting for something to happen. He was hoping that something wonderful would happen when he dunked himself in the water. Well, that didn't work, obviously, for 38 years. And here comes along Jesus and basically encourages this individual after all this time to see himself in a different light. He says, you know, take up your bed and walk. Jesus wouldn't have said that if he thought the man was just going to collapse the moment he tried to stand up. That would be cruel. Jesus knew that this man had it in him to stand. Now, more metaphorically speaking, we can say, well, gosh, I wish Jesus would come along when I'm not feeling so great and tell me to stand up and everything would be fine. Well, in a sense, he is, in that, you know, we refer to Jesus as Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, meaning here was an individual that embodied the Christ, that divine message from God that I was referring to earlier, that Christ that's been around forever, before Jesus, after Jesus. It's here right now, that presence of God, that activity of Christ is here right now, literally standing before us, encouraging us to see ourselves in a different light. Sometimes we just need to metaphorically open our eyes to that, to have the humility to see ourselves in a different light. The humility sometimes to even admit that we're worthy of God's love. I know for a lot of individuals that's a fundamental admission that we need to make. When we do that, that's when we see, again, ourselves in the light of God. That's when, to put it in biblical terms, that's when we see the Christ, when we see ourselves in that divine light. And when we do, we experience healing of all different sorts.
I think one impediment for people in terms of the idea of trusting God with their health is just plain and simple fear, you know, feeling like, can I really do it? I mean, you've shared some wonderful healings and you come across as someone with a lot of confidence on this topic, which makes you wonderful to listen to. But I think that, you know, keeping in mind folks who haven't maybe had as many experiences or don't necessarily feel like they've heard God in the same way or hear God reliably, what can they do to, well, first of all, I guess, deal with fear and then also maybe start to gain more confidence that they can trust God for their health?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say start small and work out from there. But sometimes when we start small, really big things happen. Just starting with that, just a humble willingness to admit that there is a God and to admit that God loves us. I think those are the two basics. And when I say to admit that, I know it can be hard sometimes, but we've got to start somewhere. In fact, I would say everybody listening to this conversation in some way, shape, or form has already done this. At any point in someone's life, when they reach out and they say, you know, facing some terrible situation, and they say, there's got to be a way out of this. There's got to be a way out of this. I don't care if they think that the way out of this is something matter-based or not, but just that thought that says there's got to be a way out of this, that this is not sort of the natural, normal condition here, that there's, it feels like an injustice, whatever the injustice may be, morally, physically, whatever. That reaching out and saying, this is not right, there's got to be a way out of this, to me, that itself is a divinely inspired thought. It's pointing us in the right direction. And we hold on to that thought and we say, thank you, God, for getting me started. And we kind of work our way from there. We see examples of the effectiveness of this way of thinking in our day-to-day lives, again, in small ways and in larger ways. I think one of the most fundamental things that we all run into is just that the ability to forgive somebody. You know, how important is that? It's not easy. We've all had opportunities to do that, but I would say if we want to get to know God better in our own experience, simply entertaining a willingness to be forgiving, again, is that humility of thought, that begins to open that window into what God is, what He means for us, the practicality of that, and that in and of itself helps to lessen that sense of fear that might be getting in the way of our relying on God for something bigger or more pressing, whatever that might be.
You know, an interesting dimension to all of this, Eric, is that we've talked a lot about sort of the curative side in relation to healthcare, but Christian Science also brings up the idea that there is a preventative aspect to our prayers.
Right.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because one little PS I'll add to the bike healing that I shared at the beginning of our conversation. Kind of long story short, up until that point, and this is getting to your question of the preventative, up until that point, I was what people might refer to as accident prone. God loved my parents for supporting me through many years of many different stumbles, to say the least. And so I'd been praying about this. And I remember, and in fact, it was on that particular bike ride that day, I was just praying about this idea of accidents. What is that really trying to tell me? What is it trying to tell me about me? What is it trying to tell me about God? Basically, it was trying to tell me that my relationship to God, my connection to God, if you will, comes and goes. So I was kind of going back and forth and just kind of mentally, prayerfully challenging that idea that there was ever a point in time where I had become separated from God, where I'd become separated from His love for me. Or to put it another way, any time when God had become separated from me as His reflection. It was easier for me to reason along those lines, to see that God couldn't be separated from me as His reflection. So what was interesting is I'm praying along these lines, not only did I have what was effectively an instantaneous healing after a fairly serious accident, collision with this car, that I had sort of the immediate opportunity to put this prayer into practice. But from that point on, the incidents, if you will, of my being in accidents dropped dramatically. So it effectively worked as both a curative in that moment, but a preventative going forward. And I'm not saying there haven't, you know, been the occasional stub toe or whatever. Things have happened, but it was not like the years leading up to that. I'll say that much. So, but that was a part of the healing that I didn't recognize until years later. And I looked back and I thought, oh, wait, that was a bigger turning point than I even realized in the moment, because I reviewed the years since then. And I realized that that thought, that that prayer that healed me in that moment actually prevented any number of things that might have happened in the time since then.
So what do you think is going on when we have one of those preventative experiences? Like, what's happened?
I think what's happened is we become maybe more immediately aware of not just the presence and power of God, of good, of divine love, but we're also more immediately aware of the allness of God, the allness of that love, the allness of that goodness. You know, it's one thing to say that God is really, really powerful, or even to say that God is always present. There's a big difference between that and recognizing that God is all presence, that God is all powerful, the only power, the only presence. And so when I think of the preventative, if you will, those moments that come up, to me, they're moments of just being more immediately conscious of that divine fact of God's omnipresence and his omnipotence. Now, I get it that most people are not going to articulate it that way. They're not going to describe it in those terms. And yet, that doesn't keep them from experiencing that divine fact. Nothing can keep that divine fact, that expression of God's love, from being expressed to us. Again, it doesn't matter how we articulate it. One of the ways for me to translate that is kind of taking note throughout the day of those moments that indicate to us that there really is a God, that he's here, that he loves us. I can't tell you how many times throughout the day where I just simply say, thank you, God. Just thank you, God. That's the extent of the prayer. But you string enough of those thank you, Gods together in the course of your day, when you're you know, going to the grocery store and going to work and driving on the freeway, all that thank you, God moments through all of that. Well, lo and behold, you get to the end of the day and you realize, oh my gosh, I spent my entire day praying. I was praying without ceasing.
I do want to just give you the opportunity to add anything that you feel you'd still like to touch on today.
I guess I would say that when we're talking about, you know, trusting God for our health, to me, what it comes down to is putting our faith in God's ability to express his love for us. Mm-hmm. And also his ability to reveal our true spiritual selfhood. But I would also add, and this is very important, that such trust in God that it comes naturally to us. It is innate to our being.
Love that, Eric. Thank you so much for all that you've shared with us today. It's been great talking with you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Christian Science practitioner and teacher Eric Nelson from Petaluma, California. And be sure to join us next week when Tony Lobel will be speaking to Mary Gottschalk and Leslie Kerselius about what it means to be a Christian Science practitioner. What is a practitioner? And how can they help you? Thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Publishing Society in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2023.